The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How should we think about the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If he said his kingdom was near during his earthly ministry, shouldn't it be here by now? We are beginning a new series today with Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin, and we're glad that you are here. This is the Grace Evangelical Society's radio broadcast and podcast ministry called Grace in Focus. Our website, if you want to know more about us, is faithalone.org. We have an online seminary. You can find out more about that at gesseminary.org. Now, with today's introduction to our new series, here are Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with my guest,
Steve Elkins.
Steve, it's great to have you again, and Steve has written a book called, what is it, Keys to Kingdom Greatness?
Right. I'm glad you know the title.
Well, you've actually written several books, also one on Romans, right?
Yeah, right.
And the Keys to Kingdom Greatness is a powerful book and talks a lot about the parables. And today we're going to begin a short series on parables, particularly kingdom parables. So maybe you could introduce us to this subject.
Yeah, Bob, you know, many, many of the parables begin by Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And the fact is there are several parables that don't have that introduction, but they're about the kingdom.
Right.
And sometimes it's even supplied, even though it's not there, the kingdom of heaven is
like. By the translators.
Right. So I think we're 50% down the road if we understand, especially these kingdom parables, that guess what? They're about the kingdom.
See, that's why we go to seminary, right?
Yeah.
We learned this at Dallas Seminary in the glory days.
Exactly. Now, if you're an amillennialist or someone who makes the mistake, as we'll talk about in just a second, of assuming the kingdom is right now and present.
Right.
Then you could easily conflate these parables with the gospel, and you'll have disaster. Tell me about the disaster you would have.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you would end up having is work salvation or lordship salvation, because you would be ending up buying the kingdom for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to invest. You've got to work at it. It's costly, on and on and on. It definitely requires work. So you're going to have disaster with the gospel. You'll totally destroy the gospel of grace. You and I both, I believe, I certainly have bought into the idea that Stan Toussaint talks about. Now, he wasn't original with it.
Right.
And I don't know that George N.H. Peters was original with it. I'm sure he wasn't, in fact, because the earliest church were millennialists, meaning they believed in the millennial kingdom.
Right.
And that's even all millennialists agree with that.
And by the way, when they were millennialists, therefore they believed that the kingdom started with the millennium.
Right. When Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, that literal kingdom that's going to be in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the world, and his enemies will be made a footstool under his feet. He'll rule with a rod of iron, et cetera, et cetera.
And before that, there is no kingdom.
Right.
The kingdom is future.
Exactly. And George N.H. Peters, and what Dr. Chafer called the greatest book on prophetic prophecy, biblical prophetic prophecy, is called The Theocratic Kingdom. It's three volumes, and it is excellent.
Yes.
It's amazing. But he certainly didn't believe in any intermediary state or an already not yet or a mysterious form of the kingdom presently.
Okay, now let's talk about already not yet. Now, that was Ladd, right? I believe Ladd coined that term. It's interesting because Ken Yates just wrote a blog, which I edited yesterday. It'll be up by the time people hear this. So you can go to faithalone.org and see his blog about Ravi Zacharias and Ladd. And evidently, Ladd was an alcoholic. I didn't know that.
Oh,
but he was kind of a raging alcoholic, and he taught for years at Fuller and stuff. But what he pointed out is he was the one that came up with this already not yet.
I didn't know that. Now, I know Dr. Walver and he had great debates on post-tribulationism. Ladd was a premillennialist, what they often call historical premillennialists, but he believed in a post-tribulation rapture.
Ah.
And so, but they were very cordial and friendly and I assume friends, but they definitely disagreed on when the rapture was going to
be. So even though he believed in a millennium, he still believed the kingdom was already here in some sense.
Yeah. And he's what often is called an historical premillennialist as compared to a dispensational premillennialist.
So this idea of already not yet did not exist before the 20th century.
I don't know that
at least we don't know of it in writing, right?
Right. I don't. Yeah. And I'm sure there are many people, even among dispensationalists, certainly, who believe in a, quote, mystery form of the kingdom now, especially because of Matthew 13, some of the parables that we're going to look at, that there's the kingdom is future, dispensationalists believe, but they also believe there's some mysterious form of it now.
Okay, now explain what that means. What is a mysterious form of the kingdom? What does that mean?
It's a mystery, so I can't tell you.
No, but they say something like, there's some sense in which Jesus is ruling now, even though a dispensationalist would say he's not on the throne of David, right. He's not ruling as the Davidic king, but in some sense he is ruling. Isn't that the mystery
form
of the kingdom?
Yeah, I think that's a good explanation, and certainly progressive dispensationalists believe in it because they believe that Christ is already on David's throne.
Well, no, that's right. Progressive dispensationalists, I remember I had a conversation with one, and he said that the scriptures say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. I said, right. And so this person said, so what's he seated on?
Mm-hmm.
I said, a throne. What throne?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, scriptures don't tell us. He said, no, no, it's the throne of David. Mm-hmm. And I remember I asked Zane Hodges, I said, how would you answer that? He said, no, actually, the scriptures do say.
Yeah.
He said, in Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, to him I will give right to sit on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down at the throne of my Father.
That's right.
So Jesus is sitting on the throne of God the Father. He's right. Not sitting on David's throne.
Presently. But
presently.
One day he will.
Yeah. And by the way, remember when Stephen dies?
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
Stephen dies, he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God.
Right.
He stood to receive Stephen.
Yeah.
Because when this martyr is coming, and we don't know, does he stand to receive new believers? I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, now, of course, as we said, amillennialists who believe there's no millennial kingdom, they believe the kingdom's here and now already. And one of the main verses that they would use is Luke 17:21, which unfortunately was translated in the King James Version, which I love the King James.
Right.
But it says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Right.
And whenever in is with a plural, the preposition in, epsilon nun in
right.
Greek, it usually is understood as in your midst.
Or among.
Or among.
Like when the king is here, you could say the kingdom is among you or with you or in your midst.
Sure.
Any of those ideas. Because you remember in the end of Matthew 16, Jesus says in verse 28, not many days from now, some of those who are standing here will see the kingdom
right.
coming. Well, 7 days later, the Mount Transfiguration occurs. They don't really see the kingdom. What they see is the king.
Right.
But when you see the king transformed, you're getting a glimpse of the kingdom.
Right. And in Luke 17, when Jesus is in the midst of unbelievers, unbelieving Jews, speaking to them, he can say the kingdom of heaven is in their midst because the king is there.
Right.
But it doesn't mean the kingdom is here already. Not at all. In fact, over and over throughout the Gospels, the offer of the kingdom is that, you know, the kingdom is near. It's at hand.
Okay, yeah, that's another question. Both Jesus and John the Baptist in their ministries said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or is near.
Right. Right.
Matthew, what is it, 3 and Matthew chapter 4.
Right.
And what did they mean when they said the kingdom of heaven is at hand or is near?
Yeah, guess what? They mean it's near.
Wow, is this why we go to seminary? This
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
So
and
near doesn't mean it's here. It means it's coming soon.
Yeah, and it's...
It could be coming soon.
Exactly. And one of the things that totally blows us out of the water is the fact that in the tribulation times, that's going to be said again. When these things happen, Jesus said, know that the kingdom
okay,
is near.
Okay, what verse is that?
That's in the Olivet Discourse. I don't
okay.
have it right.
Olivet
oh,
Discourse
how about,
is Matthew 24 and 25.
Yes, the verse I have down here is Luke 21:32. When you see these things happening, recognize the kingdom of God is near. It's still not here yet, even in the tribulation.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that helps blow that idea out of the water. You know, when Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. We're witnessing it. We're witnessing the power of the kingdom. We're seeing the king of the kingdom. But it doesn't mean the kingdom is here. It's not. It
that
wasn't.
That is so good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so George N. H. Peters and Stan Toussaint both have come to the conclusion. And on this point, Toussaint's really kind of departing from the traditional Dallas Seminary, Schofield, Schaefer tradition that there is no mysterious form of the kingdom now. There's only one kingdom spoken of in the scriptures from Genesis through Revelation. And by the way, one of the things that Toussaint added is he believes, and I do too, the theme of the Bible, the theme of the whole Bible is the kingdom.
Yeah, that's
from
good.
Genesis to Revelation. Now, you might want to think, well, isn't Christ the theme? Like, didn't Geisler write that great book to understand the Bible? Look for Jesus. Absolutely, look for Jesus. He's the king of the kingdom. He's the key character, the key role. Somebody else might say, well, isn't the cross and the resurrection and the gospel, isn't that the main thing? No, that's how you get in the kingdom.
All right, here's my theme in two words. Jesus rules. But the other thing is, if you want to check our website, faithalone.org, Stan Toussaint gave a talk at our conference about 10 years ago.
Right.
And it was called The Kingdom Is Not Yet. And he said, in front of everybody, right, he said, the kingdom is not now, and it's not now. Let me be clear. It's not now. It's not already. It's not
exactly
now.
And so Jesus can say things like, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God.
The kingdom which is coming.
It's not here yet. If it was here, they don't need to seek it.
And what they're seeking is kingdom greatness, right?
Absolutely.
Like your book.
And in the same, my book's really all about the Sermon on the Mount, but in that same sermon, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, teaching them how to pray. And what does he say? We need to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It ain't here yet, Bob.
Right. And by the way, it's interesting because we think of it as Jesus' kingdom, but it's also the Father's kingdom because we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, the Father's kingdom.
Right.
Remember, Jesus gives the kingdom over to the Father.
Yeah.
And so it's both Jesus and the Father. It's both their kingdom.
Exactly. Off the subject just a little bit, but on that point, you know, we know that all judgment has been ceded over to Christ by the Father.
John chapter 5,
exactly.
Yeah.
And though we know that Christ is the judge, he's going to certainly be the judge at the Bema, the judgment seat of whom? Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Evidently, the Father's in presence because one of the things that Jesus says in John 5 to the disbelieving Jews, he says, there's another who's going to accuse you before the Father. Not just me before the Father.
Right.
But the Scriptures and Moses are going to accuse you before the... So evidently, the Father is on the scene. But here's something else I was thinking about the other day. Those who are going to be chosen to be co-rulers with Christ, the metakoi, Hebrews.
Right.
Who is it that crowns them? It's not Christ. Christ is along with them. And it's the Father who's going to give these crowns and anoint us,
wow,
to rule in the kingdom. I think that's pretty amazing.
Well, we're out of time for now, but we'll pick up this theme, and we're going to go through several of the kingdom parables. And between now and the next time we meet, keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, what do you think is the major theme of the Bible? Join us next time. We'll talk about it. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.